Are you all right? I hope you are. Sincerely hope you are. It is now 8 in the a.m. British Summer Time. On Wednesday the 2nd... Is it Wednesday? Yes, Wednesday. Wednesday the 2nd of September. In the year of our Lord 2026. Thank you for joining me. Without you, it isn't a thing. Pardon me. As always, nearly always, I'm joined by my producer, Little Harry. How are you this morning, sir?
Morning, yeah, I'm all good.
Okay, great. That's enough faffing about. Let's just get straight into it this morning. Let's just jump straight into it. What have we got? Okay, so Parliament opened yesterday. Harry, do you mind coming in and make sure the camera's in focus for me, please? We've got Brexit and Thatcher to blame. Parliament started yesterday, and Andy Burnham had his first go at the dispatch box as PM, and he came out with all the same things he's been saying for a while now, really, which is Brexit and Thatcher was to blame. Is to blame for more or less everything that's going on. Kemi Badenoch immediately said, it is 2026, though. Are you sure about, that? She didn't actually do that, but it was, like, really? I mean, a lot has happened. A lot has happened since, what, 1990? Or was it 1991? I think 1990, right at the end of 1990, was it Thatcher was coup'd out of power by John Major? It's a long time ago now. Oh, okay. And hottest summer ever. They've decided it's the hottest summer ever. More than 76. Was it hotter than 76? Is the winter colder than 47? Is the summer hotter than 76? Although just yesterday, and they say there's another heat wave on the way, but just yesterday, so sort of schizophrenic, just yesterday in the papers there was all sorts of weather warnings about raining and flooding. All right, let's get into it. The Guardian. Oh, first thing in the morning. Oh, Guardian, straight off the bat. Really? We're going to keep doing this, are we? The Guardian. Stop it. Okay, The Guardian. Oh, I know it's only the banner. It's not a real headline, but Francis Fukuyama on the return of history. We're living in weird time. Don't talk to me, Francis Fukuyama. You're not any sort of mind, really, when it comes to politics. Who sees some people, young people might not know. He was the guy that said, we've come to the end of history, like in the 90s. Didn't mean quite literally, like nothing's ever going to happen again. Not that sort of thing, but he thought that the great tension between different types of ideology, like that between capitalism and communism in the Cold War, for example, the tension between serfs and monarchs or something, all of that had come to an end now. The Western liberal democracies had won that battle in the whole world for all time going forward. The end of the Cold War. Western liberal democracies had won, and the whole world would very shortly be entirely on the Western liberal democracy style. And that was it. And in that sense, history had come to an end. Of course, he was entirely wrong, wasn't he? Entirely wrong. What a stupid thing to say. You don't know what you're talking about. You know when you make a prediction, a massive sweeping prediction like that, and it's just entirely wrong. It's like, why would anyone take you seriously going forward again? And then he tried to backtrack it in the years after that, when it became clear that was just incorrect. Tried to walk it back. Oh, no, that's not exactly what I meant. What I really meant was, I think that, we know what you meant. We know what, it was quite clear what you're talking about. Now he's talking about we live in a weird time. Shut up, Francis. Completely discredited yourself. A long time ago. The end of history. History is the one who knocks. History will let us know when it's done. And it never will be, of course. The end of history. What a ridiculous thing to have said. Even in a limited sense. All right, here we go. Look, there's no Stern and Burnham. There's King Bumham, the first of his name, in Parliament, at the dispatch box, on the government side. There we go. trying to be a serious statesman, pretending he's not some sort of idiot student activist type pinko weirdo chip on his shoulder northern idiot. He's northern, did you know? Has he ever said it? Has he ever mentioned? Has he ever mentioned that? Not many people know Andy Burnham's from the north. Yeah, he doesn't talk about it much. Brexit and Thatcher to blame for UK's era of low growth, says PM. I mean, I don't deny that some things Thatcher did were bad. Right? I've got mixed feelings about Thatcher. On the right, we're on the right here, aren't we? On the right, some people really lionise Thatcher. Some people on the right think she was great, really great. Someone like, for example, Andrew Rosendale, the MP for Romford, who was a Conservative Party MP for years and years and years and has now defected to Reform. For example, he thinks she's brilliant, really brilliant. Like, more statues should go up to her. And when she died, it was something to quite literally cry about. And everything she did was brilliant. She didn't do anything wrong, da 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 da. Lots of people on the right think Mrs. Thatcher was great, mainly because loads of leftists and unionists and Marxists and stuff hate her. Really hate her. Or like Andy Burnham, to this day, hate her and blame her for everything. So many on the right are the opposite. They're like, no, she was brilliant then. Oh, actually, she was brilliant. Let's be honest. We'll try to be honest. Try to be objective. You can't really be objective. That's impossible. The study of history and historiography shows that you can't be, it's impossible to be entirely 100% truly objective, value-free. It's not really possible, nonetheless. Let's try and be reasonable about the memory and legacy of Mrs. Thatcher. She did some good things and some bad things, didn't she? She stole the milk from the children. Young people won't get that one. It used to be free milk for all kiddies in the school, and she stopped that. But she did some good things, she did some bad things. Right? She took on the unions, particularly coal unions, who had been infiltrated and subverted and perverted by actual Marxists, like Arthur Scargill. She did some good things. Right? On the economy, there was a boom under the 80s, whether that was necessarily her, or whether she took some economic policies from Enoch Powell, of all things, monetism. Long story short, we can't go on and on about Thatcher here, but she did some good things and some bad things. A lot of industrialisation of the Midlands and the North declined much further, much quicker under her. It's not necessarily her fault exactly. Well, you can argue about that. People can and do argue all about that. You know, whether it was a trend that was already happening, a trend that had been locked in since before World War II even. Whether she exasperated it, her policies exasperated, made it quicker, worse. People can talk about that and argue about that. Mrs. Thatcher did some good things and some bad things, of course. Like nearly all of them. Like nearly all of them. Well, Andy Burnham's putting the blame squarely at her door now. But don't you think, like, okay, you can blame her for a number of things that are wrong in this country now. You can do that. But aren't there other things as well? You don't want to put any blame at the door of Tony Blair, for example. Or David Cameron. Or Boris Johnson. You're not going to talk about Blair. We'll talk about Thatcher, but not Blair. You can see it's entirely politically motivated, can't you? Entirely. And Brexit, as for Brexit. Well, of course the leftists can't stop banging on about that. If Brexit had been done properly and been lent into and been leveraged to make the most of it, the best of it, it could have been, should have been way better for our economy than it's been. I mean, look, the subheadline is, economy took 6% hit from leaving EU. One, I'd question those figures. And two, yeah, because the state, the government, the executive and the civil service dragged their feet for years and still haven't really properly done it, right? Not really, not properly. Plus it takes quite a few years to get trade deals in place with other countries. It's student activist talk. Brexit and Thatcher. I'd be embarrassed to go up there and moan about Thatcher. even if I really thought it was true. Like, it'd be like someone like me going up there and moaning about Harold Wilson. Up there, start really moaning about Clement Attlee. Is Ramsay MacDonald's the problem? I become Prime Minister. We've got to blame Ramsay MacDonald. I mean, and you can. There's an argument to say can blame things on like Clement Attlee or Harold Wilson. But is that really worth it in 2026? You want to focus more on? Well, anyway, you get it. Thatcher, really? Thatcher. I think I said it before. It seems to me he was red because he's a little bit older than me, I think. 5-10 years, maybe as much as 15 years. 5-10 years older than me. So he would have been raised, because I was a little kid when Thatcher was. So he would have been like an older kid or a teenager, maybe, when Thatcher was Prime Minister. And it feels like to me, it just feels like, that when he was forming his view of the world, when he was forming his politics, which we all do, even in childhood, when we're teenagers, informed by what we're told when we're teenagers. Many of us later in life flip on that, don't we? It's a classic thing, isn't it? Almost a cliche. You start off as a lefty, bit of a lefty, bit of a red when you're young. And as you get older, you realise how the world really works. And you have to start paying taxes and doing a job and getting a mortgage and sorts of things. You become more and more centrist. And as you get older, more and more right. Anyway, some don't. Some have arrested development. Andy Burnham's got arrested development. That's what I think. He was told, he decided when he was a teenager at some point, or a very young man in his 20s, something like that, that Thatcher was the problem. You can lay all the blame at the foot of Mrs. Thatcher, and he just simply hasn't changed his view since then. It's not like some deep meta-analysis. I don't think, I really don't think, well, he's never spelt it out properly, some sort of deep meta-analysis. It's really directly the fault, the blame of Mrs. Thatcher in this way and that way. Never really talked about it at any length at all that I've seen. Do us a bit of long-form content, Andy. Go on a podcast and talk for an hour and a half about why exactly it's Thatcher to blame and not, say, Blair or Cameron. Lay it out. Do us 45 minutes. Do us an hour talking about Thatcher. Few examples, few data points, a quote or two maybe, something like that. No. So you put it under a microscope, it doesn't really add up. Thatcher's no more to blame than Harold Wilson or Tony Blair or whatever. He's going to pick out Thatcher. It's weird. I honestly think it's really weird to sort of pick out Thatcher. Speaks to me that his mind hasn't moved on since the 1980s when he was young. And that is the sign of an idiot. Right. Russia behind Leipzig drone attack, Germany. Was it an actual attack or was it... I tried to read a bit more about this morning, but I think wasn't it a foiled attack? Wasn't it... It was a drone was loaded with explosives. It was discovered before... That's right, it was discovered before anything blew up or anything. Germany saying Russia are behind that. Whether it was this drone loaded with explosives was en route to somewhere else, whether it meant to attack Leipzig airport, I don't think it was meant to attack Leipzig airport. Anyway, Russia-Ukraine war spilling out all over the place. This summer was the UK's hottest, says Met Office. Okay. Hottest since records began, relatively speaking, not that long ago. Okay. And now we're going to have flood warnings. Okay. The Times, the grass went a bit yellow. The Times, the venerable Times. It's going to be the Venice Film Festival. And George Clooney's turned up with his insane wife. Insane. Globalist wife. He's going to get a lifetime award. Do you care? I don't. Okay. Burnham lames blame on Brexit for UK's woes. PM won't rule out tax rises as borrowing soars. Yeah, that's another thing in the news. The bond markets, how the government borrows. It's even a bit of a stretch to call it borrowing. Issuing more bonds, more gilt-edged government bonds. You're going to call that borrowing? It's not strict. I mean, it is borrowing, I suppose, but it's not like, it's not the same as a normal person borrowing, is it? Or lend me a tenner. Can I borrow a tenner off you and I'll give it you back tomorrow or next week? It's not that, is it? Because there's coupons and yields and all sorts of stuff, and you have to pay back more than you lend. And borrowing. I'm going to call it borrowing. Okay. All right, well, the bond markets haven't reacted too well to Mr. Bumham being in number 10. The rates on yields are the highest since, well, one paper I said saw since 2006, another one says since 1998. Because why would they do that? Why would bond markets react like that? Well, because they know Andy Burnham is a socialist. They don't really believe that he's got any intention of balancing the books. They don't believe he's got any intention or any ability even to reduce our deficit, our national deficit, the difference between how much we get in and how much we spend every year. He's going to spend more, isn't he? He's saying he's going to spend more. He's going to spend more. So our deficit will get worse. Our national debt will get worse. How is it a good deal to borrow? How is it a good deal for them? You know? And round we go. Say round and round. Downwards in a spiral, round and round we go. You know, our national debt is something like, not quite 3 trillion, but yeah, I think it's like 2.5 trillion, 2.7 trillion, something in that ballpark. With a T, that's with a T. Trillion. Britain. That's a gigantic number, isn't it? It's an absolutely gigantic number. It's going to be difficult to ever, well, not ever, we've got forever, but it's going to be difficult to balance those books again. Should really, really slash spending. Like to true austerity levels. That's what's needed. No, we'll just raise taxes. Keep borrowing and raise taxes. Even though we've got one of, if not, is it not the highest tax rate in all of Europe? One of the highest tax rates of all time. Of all time. Just increase that and keep borrowing. Shouldn't we stop spending billions and billions of pounds just giving it to foreign countries like Pakistan that hate us and have got a nuclear program of their own, space program of their own? Nope. Rory Stewart wouldn't like that. Rory Stewart might pour moral scorn on us if we stop doing that. Shouldn't we stop paying billions and billions of pounds to facilitate our own invasion by rapists and murderers? Nope. Nope, that would be un-British to do that. More safe and legal routes, if anything. Oh, okay. We're just going to borrow more and tax more, yeah? Yeah. That's what you get. Oh, I thought he was doing things differently. I thought he was going to do politics radically differently. Right? Do it slightly differently and in a way that's more of a detriment to us. Oh, okay. Andy Burnham, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks, Makerfield. Nottingham families were not told about stalker danger. Do you remember in Nottingham there was that crazy triple murder, Valdo Calocaine, some insane, and I do mean truly insane, black dude, who should not have been here, murdered 3 people in the street. They put me in like a mental hospital now, indefinitely, for the criminally insane. Remember that? Well, story here is, some other mentally deranged person, just completely separate to that, became obsessed with the story and the families of the victims. A dangerous person, just be clear, a dangerous person, became obsessed with them and was trying to find them, trying to hunt them down and find them. And the authorities and the police were aware of this and just didn't tell the families about it. For at least 18 months, odd, something like that. Could the authorities and the police have treated the situation any worse? Could they have been any worse? If there was literally sort of almost like no police Oh, horrible. Okay. All right, let's move on. The Mail, the Daily Mail. Pills versus jabs. Don't care. Just eat less. You need to. If you need weight loss, if you've got a weight loss issue. Britain's problems. I blame Thatcher and Brexit, says Burnham. It's the main story. The cabal of evil, quite frankly, evil Fleet Street editors have decided this is the story today. Don't want to talk much about Ehud Barak or Jeffrey Epstein, what he really was. No. Burnham says Thatcher and Brexit. Okay. No wonder Kemi mocked him for, quote, living in the past as, quote, Messiah without a mandate, quote, made his Commons debut as PM. It's quite funny to call him Messiah without a mandate. I might use that a bit more. The Messiah without a mandate. Yeah, let's not even forget the whole angle that he isn't a legit ruler, is he? He doesn't have a mandate. He wasn't even an MP at the last general election, was he? Obviously, we all know. Oh, Svetlana Savinkov has raided the stream. Look out. Okay. Bridget Macron's, is it, Bridget Macron's daughter, who herself is 42, is going out with a 22-year-old. There you go, that's front page news. That's front page news. According to the Mail. Bridget Macron, obviously the first lady of France, is much, much older than Emmanuel Macron. Much older. Wasn't she even his teacher? I always think it's odd when someone, an older person, knew someone when there was a small child, and then when they grow up a bit, they get in a relationship with them. Didn't Woody Allen do that? There's a few examples, aren't there? There's a fair few examples of when people have done that. Okay, well, apparently her daughter is same thing, much younger man. Well, good luck to her if she's happy. 42 and 22, if they're both happy. All right, let's move on. It's not front page news, though, is it? The Mail. Do you want to do some real journalism at some point? Nah. Just globalist slop. Okay, the Metro. Ooh. The Metro. Ugh. Terrible. Absolutely revolting. Absolutely revolting. Do they need to put the Nigerian anchor baby on? Do we need to sit? Ooh. Ooh. What is that? A historic battle. Was it? Was it a historic battle? Historic battle. Burnham promises a bright new future. Yeah, right. Of more borrowing and higher taxes. Yeah, bright new future. As his bitter foe. Should be bitter foe. This is their first exchange in the Commons. His bitter foe, Olukemi Badenoch, the Nigerian anchor baby, accuses him of dragging Britain back to past. Be back to the past. All right, anyway. Bit of a slow news day, I guess, as far as the Metro concerned. I made that the entire front page. Something about Christmas toys. Something about how grown-ups can play with toys now. Gross. Filth. And it's just not what you would call journalism, is it? It's difficult to describe it as journalism. Stupid. It's just stupid. All right, The Express. The Express, it's a good paper. You can read your Express now. Britain's red-hot record summer. Say that 10 times fast. Britain's red-hot record summer. Although later we'll see there is talk of flooding, too much flooding as well, on the same day. Okay, enchanting Nicole shines at premiere of magical movie. Nicole Kidman, he's looking good for her age. Looks a bit airbrushed, that picture, but okay, Nicole Kidman, still fine. Who knew? Everyone. Tory leader attacks Burnham for a nationalisation drive. Olukemi. New PM wants to take us back to the 70s. See, they've decided. The people in people truly in charge of Fleet Street are like, you're all going with that. You're all going with the same story today. Whatever you do, don't talk about the fifth Baron Rothschild and George Osborne. What they really are. Don't talk about that. Talk about that Burnham mentioned Thatcher. Talk about that. Or we'll shut you down. The Eye paper, Burnham pushes welfare cuts into 2027. I thought he was doing things radically different. I thought it was going to be a shake-up. As he plans bolder devolution. Major welfare reforms are set to be pushed back another year. And put on the back burner indefinitely, I would have thought. Raising the prospect of tax rises or further spending cuts ahead of October's budget, new Prime Minister confirms that landmark review into young people and work will not be published until later this autumn, leaving key reforms unlikely before spring. Funny, I thought it was going to come through Whitehall like a whirlwind, like a dervish. It's going to be a radical change, profound change. It's what you're going to get from No Stern and Burnham. No, just treading water. Very much like a lot of the PMs in the last 10, 15 years. It very much feels like to me, that these are people, career politicians, who simply want their name on that list of prime ministers. That's what they want above all else. Not particularly interested in doing the best for the country. Of course, they say they will. They'll say they will. That's what they need to say, don't they? Their ultimate motivation, seems to me, and someone like David Cameron, Boris Johnson, Rishi Sunak, Starmer, this fella, Bumham. Their ultimate motivation is that they want to be on that list on Wikipedia or wherever it is. On the venerable list of men and women who have been the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom and her overseas territories. Yeah? A venerable list. An incredible list of people. You know, from Walpole down through the likes of Robert Peel, Churchill, whatever. And you get to be on that list. The select few, the chosen few whom history has shined upon. I don't care about the actual country, actually saving it, doing difficult things, really, really difficult things. To actually save the country from some sort of impending systems collapse, some sort of demographic collapse. A sectarian nightmare. Economic collapse and a sectarian nightmare. Not interested in talking about any of that, let alone doing anything to prevent it. But he gets to be on the list, though. He's now going to be on the list. So he's happy. His vanity. His own personal ambition. He's always wanted it, isn't he? Always. For all time now. Can't take that away from him. Andy Burnham's going home with that. That's in the bank. That's safe. He's happy. New Prime Minister confirms that landmark review into young people and work. Oh, I read that one, didn't I? Sorry, I read that one. In his first Westminster speech, Burnham sets out growth plans, which devolution deals for areas without elected mayors and more public control of services. Did I read that right? Apologies if not. He also blames Brexit for a decade of low growth. Okay. Chancellor under pressure to find savings across public spending as borrowing costs hit 28-year high. Yeah, the bond markets are not impressed by these clowns, these pinkos, these Fabians, pretending they're normal politicians, not socialist student activist types. They don't care. They've got no real intention of trying to balance the budget or anything like that. All right, let's move on. It's already 5:30. The Telegraph, the Daily Telegraph, now Zionist slop, now anti-British, anti-white Zionist slop owned by German Zionists. That's the Telegraph. Oh, have I mischaracterised that? Have I gone too far? Have I said too much? Or is that exactly what it is? Exactly what it is. Ruby Wax. Is Ruby Wax still alive? I guess she is. Trump toyed with me like a cat with a mouse. Don't care, Ruby Wax. Shut up, Ruby Wax. How many decades do you have to be in the public eye and be highly obnoxious before people stop listening to you? That's a question to you, Ruby Wax. How many years? Endless. Ruby Wax has got a good management and publicist, I suppose. What else can you say? Great agent. Who cares what Ruby Wax is at? Ruby Wax, come on. Harry, you ever even heard of Ruby Wax?
No.
There you go. Says it all, doesn't it? Ruby Wax. Go away, love. Go on. Get away. You've had your turn of being famous for no real reason. Let someone else have a go. Markets turn on Burnham. Here we go. Andy Bumwap, Bumham. The markets don't like it. Borrowing costs soar to highest in decades, leaving PM with £14 billion shortfall. Another £14 billion shortfall. As he blames Brexit for country's ills. Get a clue. Olukemu Olufantu Badenoch, the Nigerian anchor baby, bizarrely finds herself LARPing as the leader of the opposition, was right when she said, your diagnosis of what's going on here is just wrong. It's just simply wrong. She said that to him across the dispatch box. I've got to agree with her. Got to. I'm happy to agree with my political enemies if they say something that's just correct. It's just wrong. You're living in some sort of weird 1980 student activist space in your head. It's terrible. It's terrible that this person's the Prime Minister, isn't it? I would rather Keir Starmer, frankly. At least Starmerbot 2.0 with its 17 patches, Starmerbot 2.17. At least you could rely on him in a way. You sort of knew exactly what his brand of treason was. You knew where his mind was, that he didn't have much of a one. You can sort of rely on someone who you know is two-dimensional, who's got no real imagination. You sort of know what they're likely to do or say or think about anything because it's just programmed in and you sort of know the coding. Burnham's a different little bit of a different kettle of fish, isn't he? He is like an 80s student activist. And that's more insane. That's more insane. Well, hopefully, his popularity will tank further than Starmer's did. I think that may well be the case. At the moment, talk about that, at the moment, the polls, the last poll I saw, take it or leave, it's only one poll, right? Polls come and go, and they're not necessarily accurate, but nonetheless, last couple of polls I've seen, Burnham bounce is still going on. It's got a little bit of longevity, ye olde Burnham bounce. Last couple of polls I saw, Labour in the lead by a few points. Like they were like, what was it, 28 or something. And then Reform and Tory about the same, a few points down, on like 25, 26, something like that, something in that ballpark. So Labour just in the lead, Tories and Reform a little behind. Or the Conservatives even slightly, one poll. Slightly pipping Reform. Reform sent down to third place ever so slightly, very, very marginally. But anyway. If there was an election now, it would be a hung parliament. And it would be a toss-up between who actually got more MPs out of Labour and Reform. But it would be a hung parliament, almost certainly. Doesn't seem to be any talk of an early election, though. Remember, that was all in the news cycle yesterday. Quite a lot yesterday. And over the weekend, for a few days, it was like, rumours, rumblings. Oh, yeah, there's rumblings. Burnham didn't say anything about that. There was no real talk. There was no talk of it. So it doesn't look like that's going to happen. Who knows, though? It could come out today or tomorrow that he's going to do that. But right now, as of the morning of the 2nd of September, it doesn't look like it's on the cards. Okay, so there's that. All right. The cost of borrowing. Oh, what's this? Tim Stanley. Little Timmy Stanley's piped up. What's he got to say? Do we care? Ignore the pints and pop music. Andy's a dud at the dispatch box, says Timmy Stanley. Says little Timmy. Thanks for that, Tim. Brilliant insight. Brilliant. What is Burnham going to do? Tim Stanley has passed judgment on Andy Burnham that he's a dud at the dispatch box. Oh, I bet he's emotionally ruined. Emotional damage. Tim Stanley's damaged Burnham's confidence, declaring him a dud. You're a dud. You're a weirdo little freak dud, Tim Stanley. Little Timmy boy. Handpicked shill. Handpicked globalist, spineless little boy, Tim Stanley. Has he ever had a take that's not pathetically shit? Apologies, I'm not supposed to swear on the breakfast show. Apologies for that, if there's kiddies in the room. They're back to school now, though, aren't they? They're back to school now, I think. I'm not supposed to swear on the breakfast show. Apologies. So what Tim Stanley does, little Timmy boy, does to me, because he's so gross. Tim Stanley. Like his political acumen, like his opinions are of any value. Where did he come from? Where did he come from? Tim Stanley. What's his credentials to really be a voice of opinion on a national level? Don't worry about that. Tim Stanley's declared that Andy Burnham's a dud. Okay. Okay, bro. You're the dud. You're the dud. All right. Andrew committed sex crimes in the US. Prince Andrew, Andrew Windsor, or Andrew Mountbatten, Andrew Saxe Coburg and Gotha, committed sex crimes in the US. Quote, I can't be done for libel there. Or defamation, because I'm merely quoting someone else who said that. Who said it? A congressman. Or is it Massey? Thomas Massey. A congressman in the United States. Is he for Tennessee? Somewhere in the South, I think. Anyway, he's one of those guys, one of those congressmen in the United States who's pushed harder and harder and harder and further and further and further for transparency with regard to all the Epstein things. So good on him. Brilliant. Love that. Great. Trump doesn't like him. Trump's called him, I think quite literally, things like an idiot and stuff. But I say good on him. Keep pushing. Go Thomas Massey. Go Congressman Massey. Anyway, he stood up yesterday at some point. In Congress, I believe. Might have been a committee, but I think it was in front of the whole Congress of the United States of America. And just named loads of names. Leon Black, Les Wexner, quite a few names. Quite fearless, really. Good on him. Great. Love it. And Prince Andrew said, and he said, just straight up, Andrew committed sex crimes on US soil. Prince Andrew is still in a spot of bother, isn't he, really? Well, he's not a prince, is he? Sorry. He's just Andrew Mountbatten. Andrew Mountbatten is in a spot of bother, isn't he? Because it's not just that he may have been the recipient of people that have been trafficked, human trafficking, and or prostitution. Not just that. He may have done it across international borders. And, remember, suggestions, allegations, that he also gave Jeffrey Epstein sensitive information. When Andrew had a role, an official role, some sort of governmental envoy, international, like a royal government international envoy around the world, like business czar type weird role they dreamt up for him. During that capacity, he had access to various bits of sensitive information, not highly, highly sensitive information, like the blueprints for our nuclear submarines or anything like that, but still, he had privileged information, and he just gave it to Epstein. Apparently, they're the allegations. Again, just the allegations. That's treasonous, isn't it? How is that not treason? How is it not? Jeffrey Epstein was a foreign agent, wasn't he? It's just an American man. May or may not have been connected to the Israeli intelligence services through someone like, Les Wexner. Or, Ehud Barak, perhaps. Just off the top of my head. Just randomly off the top of my head. Jeffrey Epstein's connection with Ehud Barak. No, do you think there's anything there? Is there anything there? Don't talk about that. Won't talk about that. Mainstream media, corporate mainstream media, don't want to touch that with a barge pole. Tim Stanley doesn't want to touch that with a barge pole. Why? Because he's a moral coward. Because he's spineless. He's a little boy who only talks about what real men let him talk about. Do a bit, Timmy, about Ehud Barak and Jeffrey Epstein and Prince Andrew and George Osborne and Peter Mandelson. Do a bit about that. No? Why not? Because you're not allowed to. Because you're controlled. Because you're pathetic. Wouldn't dream of it. It piss his pants, Tim Stanley. Scared little boy. Imagine him even going to his paymasters, his bosses, saying, "Can I write something about Ehud Barak?" They'd be like, "You're lucky we don't fire you for even asking that question." Of course not. Now go back and do your little podcast and talk about exactly what we let you talk about, shill. Go and be a handpicked shill. That's what your job is. Go and do that. And keep quiet. Keep your mouth shut about things we don't want you to talk about. Tim Stanley's like, "Oh yeah, okay then. Yes, boss. Yes, daddy." Okay. This is quite interesting. This is a little interesting story. Gun in lake is key to Al-Hilli family's murder. Does anyone remember this? Harry, you probably won't remember this. No shade at you, but you're too young. People that are Zoomers probably won't remember this. In 2012, is it 2012? Long time ago now, I think it was 2012. Quite a few years ago now. In the Alps, is it the French Alps? Anyway, in the Alps, this family, this sort of Iraqi UK family, they're Iraqis, were found murdered in a remote location in the forested French Alps. And the dad was some sort of physicist, some sort of nuclear physicist dude. And there was like him, his wife, and I think one of the kids were dead. And there was one other kid, little kid, that somehow escaped. They like hid and they escaped somehow, this murder. And it was like blatantly some sort of assassination thing for all different reasons when you like drill down into the details. I haven't looked at the details about it in years, but at the time and a few years after, it's one of those things, it's just interesting. Like, what was that? Because it's a mystery. No one was caught for it. And they know they were shot with like a relatively rare gun, a relatively rare caliber. It was like a Luger. It was like an antique World War II era or before Luger they were shot with. It's like, that's not normal. And it was in like this really, really, really remote place. And just some of all the details surrounding it was just odd. Odd as hell, it seemed. And like, they know there's almost certainly one cyclist. There's like very, very few witnesses, but the one or two that there were saw like a lone cyclist on that road, on that remote Alpine road. And like, and the person just disappeared into nowhere, like Jack the Ripper. And like, how's that possible? There's only a few roads, there's only a few very small towns, villages, hamlets around, and no one saw anything. It just disappeared into the ether, this assassin. What happened? What was going on there? And it's just a cold case, just a complete cold case. What was that? Remember like that GCHQ guy that was found inside, locked inside a suitcase in his own bath, in his own flat with the heating on? Don't know what happened. Don't know what that was. We sort of do in that case. But anyway, this is a proper cold case, this one. Proper cold case. Well, some other Brits tourists in a very nearby lake found a Luger in the lake. They say just... maybe that's the break the police need. Maybe not. Maybe not. It'd be interesting if all these years later, that was a significant break in the case and they were able to go further with it. Because at the moment, it's just, as I say, completely cold. It'd be interesting if we got to the bottom of that, that's all. I think that's an interesting one. All right, the Mirror, pure globalist slot, basically a mouthpiece, basically an organ for the Labour Party. No more than that. New call for Andrew to be prosecuted over Epstein. Yeah, good. Good. I don't think Andrew should be allowed to just slink away into obscurity. Just live out the rest of his life quietly. We need to know if he committed treasonous crimes and or sex crimes. And if he did, he should be brought to account for it. He went round the world living his life like he was completely untouchable and could do anything he wanted. Didn't he? Like the law didn't apply to him. That's how he lived his life. A long time, didn't he? Dirty wrong'un. to be brought to account if he's committed crimes. Pretty straightforward. Well, now that Thomas Massie said that, I'm sure the Palace will have to release something, even if it's a one-liner, even if it's Andrew maintains he's done nothing wrong, even if it's just that. I have to say something. A congressman said it in Congress. If he was truly, truly innocent of any wrongdoing whatsoever and never ever met Virginia Giuffre. Virginia Giuffre, just one thread of the tapestry of problems facing Andrew. Just that. If he'd never met her, why did he settle out of court to the tune of something like 12 million? I think maybe, no one knows because it's a secret, but maybe something like 12 million, 15 million quid he paid her to just drop her lawsuit and go away and never talk about it again. Why'd you do that if you're completely innocent? If I was completely innocent of something, completely genuinely innocent of something, someone's accused me of something, and I'm going to be put on trial, I'll be like, yes, give me my day in court. Bring it on. I want my day in court because I've done nothing wrong. No. I'll give you £12 million to go away and be quiet forever. Okay. While simultaneously claiming that that's no proof, I'm not accepting any sort of guilt as well by that. I'm really, yeah. We'll make our own minds up about that. Thanks, Andrew. New and old faces in Commons. A fresh start versus Farage farce. The Mirror hate Farage. Their reform and Farage derangement syndrome is probably the worst. Obviously, The Guardian and The Metro and a few others have got it. I think The Mirror's got it worst of all. Well, they truly are basically a mouthpiece of the Labour Party, aren't they? PM, this decade will be better than the last. I doubt that. Reform leader already breaking rules on first day. So Nigel Farage won his by-election, didn't he, in Clacton? So he's got re-sworn in as an MP again. And I think what he did is he went on the roof. Is that what it was? Here on the Palace of Westminster, colloquially known as the House of Commons. I think he went up on the roof to, like, do a bit to camera like that. And that's breaking the rules in some way? Or just he's breaking the rules? That's it. That's all there is to it. Not really a big deal. We probably didn't even think it... I don't know. I don't want to play defence on behalf of Nigel, but... It's just that constant thing of trying to find any tiny little error, any tiny little mistake that you can and highlight it, scream it from the rooftops. Like, even if that is breaking the rules, it's not really front page news, is it? I don't think. But it's Nigel, so they'll run with it. Pathetic, actually. Pathetic. The Daily Star, what sloppy Joe's the Daily Star serving us up today? What sloppy Joe are they smashing down on our plate today? Kate Jordan, Katie Price, look at the state of that. What is that? What is that? Is that supposed to be a human face? She's dumping Lee, her fourth husband, fifth husband, sixth husband, God knows what husband it is now. She's only been with him for like a few months or something. He said he had £37 million in crypto, Bitcoin or whatever. He only had £2. Turns out in his crypto account, his crypto was worth a grand total of £2.22. Not 37 million. Well, that, among other things. Look, a bit of a bloodshot eye there. That, among other things, has meant that Jordan's dumping him. He's not interested in him anymore. Oh, and that he's like some sort of Walter Mitty, like a complete liar, terrible liar about all sorts of things. Moving on. Why did I even spend that long on it? Why? You don't care. I don't care about it. That Dwayne fella killed Tupac, Keefe D, Dwayne Davis. Okay. You don't care about that. The chat was made quite clear yesterday. Just immediately people putting Zs, yawning emojis. Don't care, move on. All right. Alright, I'll move on then. 2026, hottest summer ever. Phew! What scorchers? 5 heat waves and 6 on the way. Alright, don't care. Yeah, it's called summer. It's fine. The Financial Times, the venerable Financial Times. Russia secretly helping Iran develop advanced supersonic cruise missiles. We've known this for a while, haven't we? Hasn't this been known for years and years and years? Yeah, that's a known thing, I thought. Leaks reveal covert program. Well, not that covert, because we've known about it for years. But, okay. Moscow, Tehran, ties deepen. Okay. Heightened threats to US vessels. Well, there has been more fire, exchange of fire, hasn't there? Look, Iran attacks US bases in Middle East after reports US strike killed five at wedding party. Apparently shrapnel from a US missile hit a nearby wedding party that, according to the US, wasn't the target of the missile itself, but still killed a bunch of people there. And Iran fired all sorts of stuff into Jordan and Kuwait. So they're just firing stuff at each other now, again. What's the price of crude? Why don't we check into that? It's ticking up relatively slowly, but it is ticking up. West Texas, $90, $91, shy of $91. Brent crude, $95.6. Ticking up. All right. Back to the headlines. What else have we got? Yeah. The FT notices that high borrowing costs pile pressure on Burnham and Healey ahead of budget. Yeah. There's the bond markets, people that want to buy a bond and then get more money than they lent when it comes up. Haven't got that much faith that that's a good investment. Because is it, really? Is it? If you had money to invest, you can invest it in anything, right? Equities, commodities, crypto. You could play the currency markets. You could do anything. Just buy a bunch of gold. You really want to buy UK government bonds? Do you? Oh, it's a safe bet. It's a super safe bet. Is it? You sure about that? Oh, I've got to stop doing that. The Sun. Something about football. You guys don't care about football. And Jordan, they go on the front page. Katie, I'm divorcing you, Lee. His £37 million crypto account only had £2 in it. There you go. All right, that's the front pages. They're the increasingly infuriating and absurd front pages out of Fleet Street this morning. All right, was there one or two other stories of note? Oh, the guy that they accused of murdering Charlie Kirk, his trial started and he's pleaded not guilty. That guy, what's his name? Tyler Robinson. And the people defending him wanted it to, the death penalty, because it's in Utah, isn't it? Surely the trial's taking place in Utah, I guess. They wanted, the people defending him wanted the death penalty to be off the table should he be found guilty. And the judge said no. Nope. If he is found guilty, the death penalty is an option for sentencing. Poor old Charlie Kirk. I didn't agree with absolutely everything he said, but I agreed with a lot of it. He was the dialogue guy, wasn't he? Poor old Charlie Kirk. Rest in peace, Charlie Kirk. He was the dialogue guy. For better or worse, he was the one that would go out there in real life and say, let's talk about it. Let's have a conversation in real life, in real time. Let's put your ideas and my ideas to the test. Let's weigh them and measure them. And that's the guy they murdered. That's all you need to know, isn't it, really? It says it all, doesn't it, really? Not people that are much more right-wing than him. Not people that are more powerful than him. But him. The guy that puts out footage onto the internet with a big platform showing that leftist theory, leftist ideas are crazy nonsense and don't stand up to scrutiny. That guy. We'll get that guy. That's all you need to know, isn't it? Poor old Charlie Kirk. All right. Let's move on to On This Day in History. Let's do that bit. It's already nearly nine. down through the centuries of note on this day, the 2nd of September, down through the centuries, nay, the millennia. What happened of note? Let's have a look-see. What have we got? I like this bit. You guys seem to like doing this bit. Ah, on this day in 31 BC, the Battle of Actium, one of my favourite battles of all time, Actium. It's up there with Agincourt or something. The Battle of Actium. It's where Octavian, later to be known as Augustus, when Octavian's naval forces defeat those of Marcus Antonius, Mark Antony, and Cleopatra, Queen Cleopatra the Sixth. Fourth or the sixth? Anyway, Queen Cleopatra, off the coast of Greece. Yeah, Actium was a naval battle in the Aegean Sea. And it led to the end of the Roman Republic. Well, you could argue that the Roman Republic had been dead for a long time. Others argue the Roman Republic doesn't come to an end until Vespasian or Diocletian. Or it never did. It lived on till 1453 in Constantinople. Anyway, everyone argues about when the Roman Republic really died. A lot of historians say it was with the ascendancy of Octavian. Like Julius Caesar isn't counted as the first emperor. Augustus is. And when was his power really, really cemented as, you know, unbreakable? Probably the Battle of Actium. So we'd had all sorts of civil wars, hadn't we? If anyone is interested, behind the paywall on otocetus.com for as little as £5 a month, bronze tier membership, there's a show, Bode's Epochs History Themed Show, where for 5 years I've been building a body of work. And there's literally, and without exaggeration, hundreds of hours, literally, hundreds of hours of history themed content. I've done loads on the civil wars of Marius and Sulla, of Pompey and Caesar, talk about Augustus and Mark Antony, and on and on and on. Got one bit of content with Apostolic Majesty, who's a true genius. I'm just an armchair historian. I'm not worthy. I'm not in the same league as Apostolic Majesty. I am literally just an armchair historian with a mic and an undergrad in ancient history. AM, Apostolic Majesty, is a true genius. His depth of knowledge is way deeper than mine. There's a long-form bit of content, I think 2 episodes, totaling 2 or 3 hours of me and him just talking about Augustus. If you're interested there, it's a £5 a month, bronze tier membership. The Battle of Actium, true turning point in world history, European history anyway. European history. Augustus and Alexander are probably my favourite figures from ancient history. They're a bit obvious, aren't they? They're armchair historian picks, really, aren't they? Yeah, love the story of Octavian. Battle of Actium. Could go on and on and on about it. Really could. Easily sit here for an hour and just talk about that period. The last bit of the civil war between Mark Antony and Octavian. Haven't got time. If you're interested, check it out on the website. That's lotuseaters.com. Lotuseaters.com. All right, what else we got? On this day in 1192, Salahuddin, the Sultan Saladin, and King Richard the Lionheart, the Coeur de Lion of England and the Angevin Empire, signed the Treaty of Jaffa, ending the Third Crusade in a compromise neither is happy with. Treaty leaves Jerusalem under Islamic control, with Christian pilgrimage rites to the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, and restores Kingdom of Jerusalem to an extent. Do you reckon I've got long-form content talking all about the life and adventures of Richard the Lionheart, Richard the First, the Coeur de Lion, and Saladin, and the Third Crusade? You think I've got long for hours, a fair few hours talking about that? Yeah. If you want access to that, it's as little as £5 a month per bronze tier membership. Again, happily could go on and on and on about the Third Crusade. Have done. Haven't really got time here this morning. It's already 9 o'clock. The Great Fire of London, on this day in 1666. Again, this was one of the things when I was young, when I was really quite young, like 10 years old, hearing about it. I'm like, oh, tell me more about that. I'm interested in that. Hearing all about the Great Fire of London in 1666. It begins at 2 a.m. at a baker's shop in Pudding Lane, destroying 80% of London. They couldn't stop it. They couldn't put the fire out. Well, eventually they did, of course. But well, when you've got a city that's largely built of timber and the houses are really close together, and then you have sort of all sorts of elements come together to make it worse and worse and worse. The wind, the dryness of the summer, the type of roofing that was used. No real proper professional fire brigade, of course. Yeah, terrible. Although it did pave the way for London to be rebuilt better, slightly better. Slightly less prone to giant fires like that. 80% of London, though. It's a lot, isn't it? And there was also a plague in the year before, or still a plague going on, basically. Bad times. The mid-1660s were bad times to be in London. All right. On this day in 1792, the September massacres of the French Revolution. Rampaging mobs in Paris slaughter 3 Roman Catholic bishops, more than 200 priests, and prisoners believed to be royalist sympathisers. Do you reckon I've talked more than once about, in detail, in quite a lot of detail, about the French Revolution? Yeah. Again, with Apostolic Majesty recently, earlier this year, but also in previous epochs, talked about the French Revolution here and there, on and off. One of the really early ones, quite an early series I did about Napoleon. Was it an 8-9 part series about Napoleon? Like, the first part of that is talking about the events just before Napoleon became the great general, and then a consul, and then a l'empereur. Talking about the French Revolution. So I talked about the French Revolution more than once on epochs. So it could go on. The September massacres, yeah. It's where the particular faction of the revolutionaries, the ones that truly hated monarchy and religion, like all religion, not just Catholicism, but they were the ones that smashed up a lot of statues and stained glass windows. Shame, terrible shame, at least as far as art history is concerned. Okay, on this day in 1864, in the US Civil War, Union General William Tecumseh Sherman captures and occupies Atlanta, Georgia. 60 miles in latitude, 300 to the main, while we were marching through Georgia. Anybody know that one? No? Okay. Ending the Atlanta campaign in the US Civil War. I think I've got long form content all about the Civil War. Got long form content about Ulysses S. Grant, the ultimate commander-in-chief by the end of the Civil War. Oh yeah, it's all there. And on my own channel, History Bro, there you go, look. On my own channel, there's a whole other channel, History Bro. Not in focus, that camera. But okay, my first ever video was all about the Civil War. Anyone who might not know, by 1864, Mr. Lincoln got re-elected and unleashed his butcher, Ulysses S. Grant, to just destroy the South now. We're going to take the gloves off. 2 or 3, 4 massive army groups just going to sweep into the South. We're not going to play games anymore. We've got way more men and material, and they, the South, are largely blockaded and starving. We're going to march in and destroy. I mean, William Tecumseh Sherman would say things like, he literally said quotes like, and I paraphrase slightly, we're going to make war so hellacious for them that they're going to have to give in. We're not going to give them any choice. You know, war is hell, and the worse it is, the better, because the quicker it will make them give up and the war will be over. So he marched into Atlanta, Georgia, and burnt it down. In fact, the Confederacy troops largely burnt it down as they left. Still, Atlanta, Georgia got absolutely ruined. Absolutely ruined. Razed. But William Tecumseh Sherman had a column that was 60 miles in latitude, 60 miles wide. He marched 300 miles to the main, to the sea, the Atlantic. And everything in its path was destroyed. Everything. Every pig. Every house. But that was what was required. Well, that's what they calculated was required to finish, to end the Civil War. Well, brutal as it is, it ultimately works, I suppose. All right, that's the last one for today. Let's have a look at our Rumble Rants and Super Chats. Will global church history be in at number one? Will that comedian global Jewish history have pipped him like yesterday? Let's have a look. What have we got? No, no, today's a good day. Global church history is there. Cool beans. All right. Global church history says, oh, and new. He's regained his title. He's regained it. Global church history said, today in 44 BC, Cleopatra made her son Caesarion Ptolemy the 15th Caesar. Right, yeah, because that'll be wrapped up with the Battle of Actium, won't it? So her son by Caesar. That's Caesarion. That's a long story. Where to even begin? Well, I suppose just the York notes. She'd had an affair with Julius Caesar before he was murdered, of course. Oh, no, wait, 44 BC, sorry. Sorry, I've got that wrong, haven't I? I've got that all kinds of wrong, sorry. It just happens to be on the same day. 44 BC, long before the Battle of Actium. Sorry, 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 sorry. Get it right. In 44 BC, Cleopatra made her son Caesarion Ptolemy Caesar. Yeah, so that's her son by Julius Caesar. They had an affair, didn't they, famously? She was quite young. I think she was only like 17 or something, 17 or 18. And probably a maiden. But when Caesar turned up there during his campaigns, during his civil war campaigns with Ptolemy and Ptolemy's sons, there's an Egyptian civil war going on at the time. Cleopatra's at a civil war with her own brother, the pharaoh. She's revealed to Julius Caesar, some say in a sack or sometimes rolled up in a carpet, and they started an affair right away. She fell pregnant with that son Caesarion, who ultimately years later came to a sticky end, because there can only be one son of Caesar, one heir to the name of Caesar. And that heir was Octavian, later to become Augustus, not this Caesarion Ptolemy. Augustus couldn't have Caesarion Ptolemy walking around being alive, claiming his title in some way. So he ultimately came to a sticky end. All right, and the other factoid that global church history gives us is, you say, on this day in 1595, the Holy Roman Empire liberated Etzkegrom from the Ottomans. I don't know anything about that, sorry. Don't really know anything about that. Or other than there was that long Turkish war. I'm aware of that in broad terms. It's quite a long war, lasted like, what, 10 years, 13 years between the Habsburgs, or a lot of central and southern European monarchies, and the Ottoman Turk. But as for the siege or relief of Etzkegrom, I don't know. Can't add anything to that, I'm afraid. Sorry. There you go. I'm only a history fan with a mic, not a true genius. All right. The next one here. Thanks, Global Church History. Great as always. Right. Fortean Barber says, morning, mate. You all right? I'm all right. Are you? I hope you are. I really do hope you are. Yeah, I'm all good. You say, the PM has approved Cornish devolution without a mayor. Need a new council to make us like Florida. To make us... Oh, are you in Cornwall? Are you in Cornwall, are you? Are you a Cornishman, born and bred? To make us like Florida. Then we need restore into... to reunify England when we no longer need all this. Not a bad plan. Not a bad plan. In general terms, I don't like devolution, though. I would reverse it all. It was up to me. All of it. Yeah, all of it. Yeah, we'd go back to pre-1997. I believe all of that was a wrong turn. Andy Bumham talking about Britain taking a wrong turn. I think all devolution is a wrong turn. Yeah. Okay, there's that red thing. I read it out early when it popped up on my screen. Svetlana Savinkov just says, Svetlana Savinkov has raided this stream! Exclamation mark. That's what they say. What's the red thing mean, Harry? Does it mean they become a member or something?
Yeah, so it's either being a subscriber or rating the stream, which is where you send all your viewers to a different stream.
Oh, did they raid? Was there a raid in the chat?
Yeah.
Was it bad?
No. It's a good thing.
Oh, it was a positive raid.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool then. It wasn't a load of leftoids going crazy.
No.
Okay, cool. Oh, well, good, brilliant. All right, next we've got a couple more Rumble rants have come in. Matthew C, hi Matthew C, he's a super fan. Met him in real life at the old live event we did. Good chap. Good on Twitter as well. Okay, Matthew_C has said, not being a doomer, but it's quite clear Burnham is going to give out endless gibs. Yeah, call an election and at worst get a comfortable plurality. If only the right could stop the endless infighting. Yeah. Well. Yeah. You're not wrong. We shall see. I'm just of the opinion it's not worth backing a party that aren't going to do what needs to be done. It's as simple as that. I know people don't agree with that view, but like, you know, the existential threat is demographics. I have to throw my support behind the party that I believe is most likely to address that. I don't think Reform are going to. They're Tories 2.0, teal Tories. So what's the point in uniting behind that? How is that? I don't see any point in that. I don't see any real qualitative difference between Reform and the Tories. You've got to get behind Reform. To what end? To what end? So that they don't confront Islam, the Islamification of this country, and our demographic decline. No. Sorry, I'll fight a losing battle instead. I'd rather that. That's just me. That's just my opinion. Okay. And the last rumble rant here is from HughMan17. Hugh Man 17 says, morning Bo and little Harry, all right? Yeah, I'm all right. You're right. Bo, would you consider being a guest on Red Pill 78's Rumble podcast? Never heard of it. If I look it up and have a look and I'll consider it, I don't know what they are or who they are. So, possibly. You say, you would both have a great conversation, I think. Keep up the great work. Well, thank you very much for saying that and the Rumble rant. Never heard of Red Pill 78. But I'll have a look, check them out, maybe. I've been on a number of smaller podcasts. Yeah. Yeah, that's all I can say. Oh, and one last rumble rant from Matt C again says, for the record, I mean, stop infighting and back restore. Good lad. Reform and the Tories are contemptible. Right, yeah. Let's stop all this infighting and we'll all vote restore. Oh, you're a Reform person who doesn't like restore splitting the vote. Just vote restore then. You want us to stand down and stand aside so you can win more seats? No. If you don't like that, if you don't the vote being split, come over to restore. You can stop the vote being split that way, can't you? Reform's just containment, isn't it? It's part of the containment machine. It really, really is. Pro-Ukraine, pro-Israel. Don't want to confront Islam. Because if you lose, you lose. If you do anything about Islam, too rude to brown people and Muslims, you lose. Not concerned about demographic change. It's containment. Nigel's boasted for years on end. He's boasted that anyone an inch to the right of him, he has destroyed. It's not good enough. It's not what I want. It's not going to do it. He's not the guy. Never was. Some sort of hypno-toad containment machine. All right. Tatum2733 says, have you ever read Anna Comnay? Or Michael Fellas? I don't think so. Is that even how you pronounce it? Michael Sellus? Perselus? No, I haven't. Sorry. Sorry, no. Okay, Roland's. Roland 6439 says, who is the worst Chancellor? Mertz or Blair? Are you German? Are you actually German? Because, of course, our Chancellor is the Prime Minister. Who's worse? Blair, in my opinion. Although, I know a fair bit about Mertz and what Mertz has done. And he's really bad. Really bad, traitorous person. But for me, perhaps because I'm English, the crimes of Tony Blair seem much worse. It's more insidious as well. Much deeper. Mertz already inherited a giant edifice of machinery that allowed him to continue destroying Germany. Blair changed the game. Blair started and built the foundations, in Britain anyway, built the foundations to that. So a more insidious, darker crime, in my opinion. Okay. And the next one's also from Roland. So the next two are from the same person, Roland 6439. The next one, for €20, thanks, that's very generous, says, as of late August 2026, UK gas storage facilities are sitting at just 30% capacity, a steep collapse from 46% at the same time last year and over 90% in previous years, marking the lowest level for August since records began. That's interesting. I didn't know that. All of that was new to me. Very interesting. Okay. If true, and I'm not saying it's not true, if you say I'm prepared to believe you, take it at face value. Wow, okay. I mean, is 30% catastrophically low, or is it like not too much of a problem? Obviously, it's not good. It's obviously not as good as having 90% reserves, but how bad is that really? Doesn't sound good. But that's very interesting. Thanks for letting me know that. That's interesting. I'll Google that and have a look into that, see what's going on there. Yeah. Thank you. It's great to learn new things, isn't it? Learn something new every day. Good, thanks. Genuinely interesting information there. Okay, and the next one, the second one there from Roland's, third one from Roland's, it says, in a different timeline, Bo would have been a face dance prodigy. What was face dance? Harry, do you know what face dance is?
No clue.
Okay. I'm not sure I can remember. Face dance. Is it like a... I can't remember. It rings a bell just about, but I don't know what face dance is. Sorry. But I would have been a prodigy at it. Unless it's something really bad and embarrassing, in which case. If it's not something really weird and embarrassing, then, yeah, I would have been a prodigy of it, yeah. Should really know what it is before I try and be smug about it. Okay. Mr. Dicky Bingo. Not Mr. Dicky Bingo. Not Mr. Dinky Bingo. It's Mr. Dicky Bingo. Who does have his eyesight still, thanks to me. He was going to burn his own retinas out by looking directly at the sun. And I saved him from it. That's not exactly how that went, by the way. Mr. Dicky Bingo says, Andy settled so his true involvement was hidden. Andy settled so his true involvement was hidden. With regard to what exactly are you saying there? Andy settled.
The court case that he settled in.
Andy Burnham.
No, the Saxe Coburg golfer.
Oh, that Andy, sorry. Sorry, of course. Right, of course, I understand now. When you say Andy, I was just thinking Andy Burnham. Sorry. Andrew Windsor, settled so his true involvement was hidden. Absolutely, yeah, right. Yeah, that's the whole point of that, isn't it? That's the whole point of that. We'll have no trial. There'll be no discovery. There'll be no people sitting in court, journalists sitting in court, making notes of exactly what's said. None of that. You avoid all of that if you can just get her to agree to take a whole bunch of money instead. Yeah. That's what that is, isn't it? That's what that always is. And they say, but I am settling out of court, but that's no admission of guilt. Isn't it? Isn't it? Again, we'll be the judge of that. Okay. The next few here. Mr. Gently Benevolent says, come on, Bo. If Jordan is giving him the boot, you can probably get in there. Oh, Katie Price. I thought you were talking about Jordan the country then. So I don't want to go to Jordan. I'm not interested in visiting the country of Jordan. If Jordan is giving him the boot, you can probably get in there. Oh, no. my actual real life girlfriend is orders of magnitude more attractive than Katie Price. So pass. Thanks. Colgon must pay you more than £2. You're in there easy. Okay. Carmichael Cookie Dough Foot Job. That's Carmichael _ Cookie Dough _ Foot Job. Says, gun to head, full English or full Irish. No cheating with Irish butter in the full English. Talking about breakfast here. Talking about breakfast. Full English, of course. Come on. Come on now. You're talking to an Englishman, bruv. You can't beat a full English. It's one of the best meals in the world at any time of day. 2 bacon, 2 of sausage, fried bread, a couple of fried eggs. Are we talking beans, of course? Fried toms, tin toms, tin plummed toms, maybe, if you're so inclined. Bit of mush, gotta have some mushroom. Want a potato option? Hash browns, perhaps? Some go with chips. I don't do chips on a fry up, on a full English, myself. If there is any sort of potato option, I'll go hash brown. Actually, whack an extra sausage on there, would you? I'll have 3 sausages, 3 bacon. Cheers. Cup of tea. Maybe an OJ as well. Lovely jubbly. Full English, of course, is the correct answer to that question. Okay. Insane Erpist says, okay, so you aren't an historian, but you are our historian. Oh, that's kind. That's very kind. I do have to be clear about it. You know, I've said it a number of times, because some people say, oh, Bo claims to be a historian. Bo thinks he's a historian, but he's not really. No, I've never, ever claimed to be. From day one of my channel, History Bro, like on the bio of it, I think to this day, it says, just a history fan with a mic. That's why Dan Carlin always got around it. You're not a real historian, bro. Yeah, never claimed to be, though. I'm not published. I've never lectured in it at university. I just have an undergrad in ancient history and have done 25, 30 years of reading. But I'm our historian. Ah, that's kind. It's really kind. Really appreciate it. When I first started reading that, I was like, oh, they're going to have a pop. No, they're being nice and kind. Cool. Okay. Penultimate one here is from Roland's6439 again, who says, the UK is entering the colder months with the lowest gas storage levels for late August and early September since records began. All right, was that you mentioned? Yeah, it was you as well that mentioned the same thing earlier on. Oh, yeah, it doesn't sound good, yeah. I'll have to look into it. Whether that is sort of reserves at 30%, whether that's like truly catastrophic or whether it's not that bad. I really don't know. It sounds bad, doesn't it? I imagine it is bad. Of whether they can stock it up between now and November, when it gets really cold. I don't know. Doesn't sound great, though. I mean, the way you're phrasing it, the way you're putting it, doesn't bode well, does it? I have to do a little bit of reading about that, find out what's going on. Okay, and the last one here, from Tatum again, Tatum2733 says, Psellus and Comneni are... a 1,000s Roman historians. I do know Anna. Okay, I have read a bit and know of Anna Comneni. Yeah, she was. Yeah, they've talked about her. With I did a long form bit of content with Iron Age agriculturalist Marcus, all about Byzantium, and we talked all about her and some of her history there. So sorry, that does ring a bell. Sorry. You're right, I have read a bit of that, a little bit of that. I certainly know about her life. Yeah, okay. So 1,000 Romans historians, and you say, also, I turned 22 today. Oh, happy birthday. Happy birthday, buddy. So they are knocking me in the head with a mace as hard as possible, as usual. Well, happy birthday. Happy birthday. Sorry, I do know about Anna Komneni. I'm probably pronouncing that terribly. I don't have any Greek. I don't speak any Greek. So I'm probably pronouncing that terrible. And Michael has just don't know how to pronounce that either. Okay, one more has ticked in. Or two more have just ticked in, actually. Roland, I may as well read them. Roland6439 says, face dance is all about moving your face, making mimics to noise, making mimics to music. simply letting your face dance, so to speak. Yeah, I'd be a prodigy at that. Yeah, not quite Jim Carrey levels of plasticity to my face, but not better, not better than most. Is that a good thing? Have a high level of... Anyway, all right. And last one here. Let's get going. Nearly finished for the day. Got a crack on. Kiefer Brown, 1337, says, forgetting the black pudding is disgraceful. Unsub. Don't go. Don't go. Don't leave me. You're part of the glorious band, the chosen few. Don't go. We can still make this work. Kiefer Brown's obviously joking there. Black pudding. Yeah. Yeah. I don't mind black pudding. I don't mind it. If it's on the plate, if it comes as part of the full English, I'll happily eat it. If it's one of those full English where you pick exactly what you do and don't want, I'm probably not going to pick it. It's just me. Call it heretical if you like. If it's on the plate, I'll happily eat it. Nice black pudding cooked just right. It can be delicious. I like it a little bit crispy. I like it a little bit dry and crispy, like hash browns. I like my hash browns quite crispy. But again, if I'm just picking it, I'd rather have more sausage and bacon and egg at the expense of black pudding. But no, I don't mind black pudding. You're quite right. Properly speaking, formally, legally speaking, you've got to have a bit of black pudding with your full English. All right, that's the last one. Okay, that's the show, guys. It's now 26 minutes past 9 in the AM, British summertime, Wednesday the 2nd of September in the year of our Lord 2026. You've been the glorious band, the chosen few, my band of brothers and sisters. Thank you for joining me. Without you guys, it isn't a thing. Try and make the best of the day ahead if you can. It's the most valuable thing you'll ever have is your time. Most valuable thing. By orders of magnitude. More valuable than gold or silver or cars or houses you might ever own. You can't take any of that with you. It's ultimately the final reckoning of no value, isn't it? But your time on this earth is finite. Doesn't feel like it sometimes, especially when you're young, but it is. Try and make it count. Try and do something valuable with it if you can. All right, I'm not going to get too preachy. You do you. It's up to you. All right, then. Until tomorrow morning,